This is the Quality News Network. Mideast tensions are rising as Israeli warplanes reportedly flew over Syria. In response, Syria claims they fired on those planes as they were in the air above the Syrian president's home. In Gaza, the Israelis continued military raids, including a ground offensive to free a kidnapped soldier reportedly being held by Palestinian groups. They have knocked out most power, water, and main bridges in the area with airstrikes. In Washington, the Supreme Court has upheld most of a controversial Texas redistricting map promoted by Republicans, including former House Leader Tom DeLay. However, the court ruled that one of the congressional districts unfairly diluted the voting strength of Hispanic minorities. In Iraq, the Prime Minister says that he has been contacted by several armed insurgent groups that want to be part of the national reconciliation. Some of the Sunni groups are offering to halt their attacks if a two-year timetable is set for the U.S. military to leave the country. Also in Iraq, an oil ministry spokesman says that oil production is at its highest level, 2.5 million barrels a day, since the U.S.-led invasion 3 years ago. Production had fallen because insurgents were sabotaging equipment and attacking workers. In Kabul, Afghanistan, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pledged continued American support for the country in the fight against resurgent Taliban militants. Her meeting comes a day after a visit to Pakistan. She travels to Moscow next to meet with foreign ministers in advance of the G8 summit. President Bush will visit two former communist East German towns before heading to Russia for that meeting. In Washington, the Bush administration issued new security guidelines to prevent the theft of personal information on employees and civilians. They're giving federal civilian agencies 45 days to implement new security measures to protect private data. President Bush's Treasury Secretary nominee will get a full Senate vote soon. Former Goldman Sachs chief executive Henry Paulson won the approval of the Senate Finance Committee today. Across the eastern seaboard, flooding has led to at least 10 deaths. From the Virginia coast to upstate New York, rising rivers have forced the evacuation of tens of thousands of residents. At Cape Canaveral, Florida, weather concerns may delay the scheduled launch Saturday of NASA's Space Shuttle Discovery. And this year marks the 50th anniversary of the U.S. Interstate Highway System. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
A new survey finds that most retirees in the U.S. will not receive health benefits from their employers. 95% of the companies surveyed say they plan to reduce that coverage over the next 5 years. Daimler Chrysler's Smart Car, which already sells in 36 countries, will soon be available in the U.S. The two-seat mini car will be launched in 2008. Honda Motor announced it will build a new half-billion-dollar auto assembly plant in Indiana. It will have 2,000 workers and make 200,000 vehicles a year. Nokia is suing two Chinese companies, claiming they copied their mobile telephone design. China is now Nokia's largest market, with sales totaling $4 billion. Palm Inc., the handheld computer and phone maker, has settled a long-running patent dispute with Xerox. Palm will pay $22.5 million to end the 9-year battle over software. FBI agents in the New York City area say they broke up two international movie piracy rings today. They say the motion picture industry lost millions of dollars because of these bootleggers. UPS has entered into a deal with the Postal Service. The package carrier will now fly mail for the U.S. Postal Service on its plane. Oracle CEO Larry Ellison now says he won't give Harvard University the $115 million he had earlier pledged. Near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 49 points, the Nasdaq up 12 points, and the S&P 500 up 7. There's always more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me's right. Today's Tom Sawyer, me's right.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right. Welcome to Hump Day, everybody. This is Bruce Birch right here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America, and I'm back with you live this afternoon. It's about six, almost 7 minutes past the hour here on the east coast of the United States, where I'm looking out my window, where the sun is shining today where I am, and the rain has stopped. Thank you, God. What a series of storms we've had here. Just amazing, you know. Lots of rain. I think something like, 8 or 9 inches of rain in about 5 days. I mean, it's been crazy. All right, today on the radio program, we've got Matt Rothschild, who is the editor of the Progressive Magazine. And we're going to talk about the things that should be important to those people in D.C., stuff other than gay marriage amendments and flag burning and all this other crap that they've been throwing at us. We're going to be talking about other stuff as well. If you would like to get on the show, as you heard at the top of the hour, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. That's Birch with a U, B-U-R-C-H, not B-I-R-C-H. I'm not a tree or a beer. I'm just a guy with the name Bruce Birch. Yes. Okay. Our good friend Ben Birch, also with a U, is having his fundraiser right now this quarter, and he is, he needs your help. So go over there and give him some assistance if you possibly can. Go over to whiterosesociety.org and click on the donate button and give up your latte for a few weeks if you can, or a week, or you know what, every other day this week. If you could do give up your latte every other day this week and use that money to give it to Ben so that he can continue archiving this show and many, 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 many other shows, you know what, you're going to be doing the progressive movement a huge favor. So please do that if you can. And I just got to tell you, I'm telling you, this is the right thing to do. You know, you hear me talk about what the right thing is to do. Well, this is one of the right things to do. So please do that if you can. Our good friend, again, I said, I guess I already mentioned this. Our good friend Matt Rothschild will be on here later in the program, and really glad to have him back with us. You hear him every day on this show at the bottom of each hour doing his progressive point of view, and I heard the one yesterday about the flag burning amendment, and I thought, I've got to get Matt back on the show because he feels, I think, in great, we have a great affinity with how we both feel about the whole flag burning thing. It was smoke and mirrors completely. So we'll talk about that some a little bit later. I wanted to give you a quick update also. Yesterday, I challenged my listeners. Yes, here comes the moment of truth. Yesterday, I challenged my listeners to come up with a one-word descriptive term, if you will, of the religious right. And would you believe it, I ended up with 16 entries. 16 entries. Now, you know, to be fair, a couple people sent in more than one entry, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to put them all up. Now, we're not going to say who they're from. We're not going to say what they're about or, you know, who sent them in, but we will, what I have done, if you go to brucebirch.com, and go to the just on the front page there, you'll see the show post. And in the show post, there is instructions on how you can vote for which one you like the best. And what I'll do is leave the voting. Now, see, I told you yesterday that I would choose the term that I thought fit the best. And honestly, I really wanted to do that, but there were so many good ones that I thought, you know, I think my listeners, you know, because you guys are what, you guys make this show what it is, you guys need to be the ones to vote on it. You guys need to be willing to choose the top term, okay? So if you go to my homepage, Bruce Birch, Bruce, B-U-R-C-H, brucebirch.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. Just go all the way to the bottom. You will see a little, you'll see 16 different terms. And what you can do is vote on which one you think is the best one. Now, there's already a couple of, I think there's already a vote. Somebody already visited the page today, went to the bottom and found it before I had a chance to announce it. So thank you, whoever that was, for voting. And you can do that. Again, the voting will stay open, and I'll mention it again tomorrow on tomorrow's show. But the voting will stay open until midnight tomorrow night. Okay? So at 11:59, the polls close. I don't even think you have to register to vote. So I think it's all good. You know, we're doing democracy here on the Bruce Birch radio program with this issue. So do that, and then Friday, actually, and you can also read the show post today, and that tells you what the winners, the top three people will get, the top three vote getters will get. Now, on Friday, what I will try to do is, if the person is willing, who wins, I'll try to get them on the air, and we'll talk to them about what they think about the religious right, okay? So go check that out. Please do go vote. I really want you to go vote because, you know, this is democracy in action. We're picking names today right here on the Bruce Birch radio program. Okay, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Matt Rothschild on. A few interesting issues in the news today, not the least of which is this whole thing about good old Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania today decided that what he wanted to do is write a law that would allow Congress to sue the President of the United States. Now, you know, what gets to me about this is, number one, this is the same guy who won't swear in the Attorney General for hearings in the Congress. It just blows my mind. He won't swear in the Attorney General to get him to tell the truth, but he wants to sue the President. Yeah, okay, Arlen. Well, we're gonna do our best today to try to poke holes in some of this theory today, and some of this insanity that would be the right wing of our nation. Now, what we're going to go ahead and do is take a quick break and come back. But, okay, so what you want to do during the break is you want to go over to brucebirch.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, and vote on what you think is the best descriptive term of the religious right in this country. All right? So go do it. I'll be checking on the break to see what kind of results we got. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Free America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Must be the ones who start
to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart. Yeah, closer to the heart.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided they can't do that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage, when the chance of a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to irs.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. 4484.
On the Head On Radio Network, if you could take that down, Bob. We were talking about earlier the whole situation with Arlen Specter and the fact that he now wants to sue the president over the signing statements. Now, let's talk about that just for a second. We're going to have Matt Rothschild on here shortly, and gosh, this guy, he's a whiz at what he does, and that's why he's good at what he does. And hopefully we'll you know, I'll try to get this question in. But one of the things that amazes me about what the president is doing lately is that, you know, he has decided, because he's the decider. He's the decider. He has decided that what he would like to do is, you know, sign these laws. Okay, he signs these laws. Doesn't veto them. He signs them into law and then he ignores them. Why doesn't that bother anyone? Why, you know, and I guess that's really the biggest thing, is that this president has done more to usurp and create presidential power than any other president before him. He has created a monarchy of sorts. He has decided that he is the judge, jury, and executioner in the presidency of the United States. Now, way back in the 1700s, I'm not going to give you a history lesson, but let's just provide some context. Way back in the 1700s, there were people who came over to this country and who decided that what they wanted to do was to get away from the oppression in England, so that they could come to the United States and recreate and have a place to live that would be without some of the insanity that was going on over there, Oliver Cromwell and his folks. They came over to this country, you know, as colonists. You know, they you know, killed off a bunch of Indians, etc., and continue to do that. Except for the first colonists. And then they decided they wanted to declare their independence. Now, there are those, Thomas Paine, Tom Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Sam Adams, true patriots who risked life and limb. One of Ben Franklin's quotations would be, "We must hang together, or we will most assuredly hang separately." They got together and they decided to declare their independence from England and create a new nation. A nation where there would be no taxation without representation. A nation where it would be a nation of laws, not of men. A nation of laws, not of men. Now, if we have a nation of laws, not of men, and the role of law trumps what anyone's personal opinion might be, then why do we have a president that is allowed to subvert the laws passed by Congress and signed by his pen by creating signing statements that do what? What do they do? Totally ignore the law that he signed into existence. That's very troubling to me. It's very troubling to me, and I can understand where Mr. Spector is coming from, and why he thinks this may be a constitutional crisis, and why he thinks there may be a need for extraordinary measures to make the president account for his actions. But let me tell you something, Arlen. The time for accountability has long since passed. And you dropped the ball, Arlen. You dropped the ball. You dropped the ball when Attorney General Gonzalez came before your committee and lied about wiretapping. You dropped the ball when it came time to take a look at the NSA program and you're trying to negotiate your way out of doing the right thing. You pretty much dropped the ball all the way through this process. So now that it's election year, you've decided, Arlen Specter, you've decided that you're going to put your foot down. Well, you know something? Mr. Spector? I think it's a little too little too late for you to be coming out and trying to create something as you see your butts in the sling for going along with these thugs. Now, something that I really want to say before we go over to our bottom of the hour break and come back hopefully with Matt Rothschild, is that if we live in a nation of laws, if we live in a nation that is bound by the rule of law, and we have a president that is not allowing himself to be bound by the rule of law, there is but one simple solution, and that is impeachment. Arlen Specter, you are the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. If you really want to do the right thing, if you really want to restore constitutional democracy, if you really want to save the republic, as you so aptly would like to try to say and postulate and propagate and catapult propaganda, if you really want to do that, then, you know, as they say in in an organization that I'm a member of, half measures availed us nothing. No, this is not about presidential signing statements, Specter. This is about the rule of law, and this is about the laws that this nation was founded upon. And if you can't see your way clear to defending all of them, then you know what? One or two doesn't matter. If you're only going to defend the Fourth Amendment or the Second Amendment, then you know what's the good in having the first one? And I think, no, I believe absolutely that this is what is going wrong with this, with these Republicans in Congress. Is they only want to go after the president as long as it makes them look good, or they only want to go after the president as long as they know that there won't be any real outcome. They only want to go after him when they know that they can do it and get away with it and not lose any ground politically. They don't want to stand up like Russ Feingold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. What they want to do is defend their own sorry asses. Well, let me just say, it's time for us Americans to stand up and not let that happen. We need to hold them to account. And I certainly hope that, that Mr. Spector gets pushed on this issue. That he gets letters that say, Mr. Spector, if you're going to do this, then why not go all the way? If you're going to sue the president, then why not, let's not sue the president. What is this, a civil court? What are you trying to get, damages? No. If we're going to drag his ass to court, we need to do one thing. And you know what that is? Impeach him. Stand him on trial for crimes against the republic. And let him defend himself for that, rather than for signing statements. Yeah, I get a little wound up on this issue. Because Mr. Spector has postulated and stood up there and said all kinds of things and has never delivered on one, not single one thing, not one single thing has he delivered on that I'm aware of. Now, I may be wrong. I couldn't, and if I am, please correct me. But I certainly haven't heard it or seen it or experienced it. We're coming up on our bottom of the hour break. I'm feeling very rantalicious today. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show after we have our guest, 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. Let's see, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hello.
And as you know, he's African-American like you, so you can trust him.
And that's important, because here's the low monthly payment and interest rate you were promised, and here's where it triples. Plus, we buried a balloon payment in there, so you'll need another loan just to pay that off.
Another loan?
But we'll keep giving you loans.
Until we eventually take all the equity you had in your house, leaving you with absolutely nothing.
What? But don't worry, we're going to sell you credit life insurance. You don't really need it, but we sell it at five times the cost.
Which puts a ton of cash in our pockets.
Wait, whoa. Don't get up. You look nervous.
Ooh, we better hurry up and get you to sign. Or if you don't, I can pretend to ruin your credit with one phone call.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Place your hand in your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
I can feel no sense of measure, no illusions as we take refuge in young man's pleasure, breaking down the dreams we made.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burge radio program, Radio for a Free America. And you just heard me yelling about Arlen Specter. I'd like to hear what you would like to think about it. If you want to give a call, 1-877-443-2366 is the number. You can also send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. That's Bruce at Bruce, B-U-R-C-H.com. We are waiting patiently to see if our guest will show up today. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's just you do the best you can to try to get folks on the show, and when it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's okay. You want to hear about the now you've heard me fuss about the shenanigans going on in the U.S. Senate. I also have some fussing to do about the shenanigans going on in the U.S. House. You know, we have Specter's counterpart in the U.S. House, and you know who this is. It's F. James Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, who looks like he ought to be from North Carolina, perhaps. He's a Jesse Helms lookalike. This guy. Anyway, he's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and the Democratic sources are saying, and actually you can read this story at rawstory.com, Democratic sources are saying that he broke House rules today to adjourn a meeting after losing a vote to the Democrats. The vote was on an item from the Republicans' American Values agenda, which the party says will codify the American character. Specifically, it aims to bar any court, including the United States Supreme Court, from hearing any legal challenge to the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. Sensenbrenner, according to sources, hoped to reverse the vote when the committee reconvened later in the afternoon. The Democrats all refused to attend, aside from one, and that would have been that would be John Conyers. With many Republicans also absent, there was no quorum present to hold a vote. So, yeah, you know, when they don't get their way, what do? They decide that, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's just adjourn the committee. Let's not actually, lose one vote out of how many thousands of votes they've probably taken over the last 3-5 years. So they lose one vote, and Sensenbrenner bangs a gavel to close the hearing or close the committee meeting before he can declare that they lost. You know, it's just, these people are just sickening. They're just sickening. You know, and I guess what really is more sickening than anything else is the fact that, you know, with this guy, especially this one, he hates to lose. Now, Conyers, apparently in the afternoon they reconvened, and Conyers attended only for the sake of raising a point of order. In that point of order, he indicated that the previous adjournment had violated the rules. Sensenbrenner responded by indicating that he had not heard the objection earlier. And although there are sources that have told Raw Story that Sensenbrenner actually responded to the earlier statement. Yeah, I know, it's minutia. It's minutia, but you know, you're talking about a situation where the Judiciary Committee wants to pass or wants to pass a resolution that would bar any court from hearing any legal challenge to the Pledge of Allegiance. So see, here's another one, folks. Here's another one of those diversionary tactics that I was talking about a little bit earlier in the program about gay marriage, about the flag burning. You know, here's another one. The American Values Agenda. Remember that term, because you're going to hear it probably hundreds of more times over the next few months. American Values Agenda. When you hear that, automatically do one thing. Turn off your hearing. All right. I'll tell you why in just a minute. And actually, looks like our good friend Matt is on line one. Matt Rothschild, the editor-in-chief of the Progressive Magazine. Welcome to the Bruce Birch radio program. Glad to have you with me.
Hey, Bruce. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. And actually, when I say back, you know, you came on earlier in a different incarnation. Yeah, we got the new radio show and a new time slot, and we're doing it daily, so it's kind of neat. Glad to have you with us.
Well, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. Wanted to talk to you a little bit now. You know, I heard your progressive point of view yesterday, and in that point of view, you talked about the flag burning amendment and how it was sort of a diversionary tactic, or you know, you alluded to the fact that that this was not the real issue that needed to be talked about.
Yeah,
would you like to expound on that?
Sure. I mean, look at all the problems we have in this country. We're bogged down there in Iraq with 2,500 U.S. soldiers killed, more actually, 18,000 U.S. soldiers wounded. Lord knows how many Iraqi civilians killed and wounded. The insurgency is flaring up in Afghanistan. That was another success story we were told from the Bush administration. U.S. soldiers are being killed over there still. Here at home, wages are down for a majority of Americans, and health costs are up for a majority of Americans. This hits people every day. And what are people in the legislature in Washington, D.C. talking about? They're talking about same-sex marriage. They're talking about flag burning. I mean, this is ridiculous. There's really got to be more important issues for them to deal with than that. Now, you know, the Bush administration is talking about the New York Times, turning that into a treasonous organization. This is all diversion. This is all smoke and mirrors. And they don't want us to focus on the fact that this administration has made a mess of the globe, has endangered U.S. citizens all over the place, has put U.S. soldiers in harm's way for no good reason over in Iraq, and they're doing nothing here in this country for a majority of people except, you know, for his base, which he says is the elite. He knows who he's helping, and they're delighted to be helping those top 1% of Americans. But for the rest of us, it's hardship, and they don't want us to feel the hardship.
You know, I think that's, I mean, you know, that's the thing to me that I've watched this, and it's just amazing to me the, you know, when the debate looks like it's going to die down, they come out with one more inflammatory statement to kick it back to another level. And even today with Arlen Specter coming out this morning and talking about writing a law that says he can sue the president, isn't there already a process in place to deal with a president that doesn't want to be held to the rule of law?
Well, I sure think so. I mean, the constitutional remedy here is impeachment, and I believe George W. Bush should be impeached. Lord knows he's done enough to deserve to be impeached. Even on the thing that Specter was talking about, which is this NSA spying scandal of the administration or the signing statements of the administration, they think, Bush does, Cheney does, that if there's a law in the books, the president has every right in the world not to obey that law as long as he says it interferes with his role as commander-in-chief or as long as he scribbles a signing statement underneath his signature on the bill that says, I'm going to enforce this bill to the extent that it doesn't interfere with my constitutional powers. Well, I'm sorry, that's not our system of government. Our system of government is the legislature makes the laws. The president either signs the law or vetoes the law. If he signs the law, he has a constitutional obligation to enforce that law.
Well, and I guess what really gets to me is that, you know, with all of this bluster, now I know that, you know, of course, the articles of impeachment would originate actually in the House and in the House Judiciary Committee. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it would be up to the House Judiciary Committee. The thing about Specter, who's over at the Senate Judiciary Committee, he has it both ways. He talks out both sides of the out of his mouth. Sometimes he condemns the Bush administration for these unconstitutional power grabs, but whenever anybody wants to hold the Bush administration accountable, like Senator Russ Feingold, my senator here in Wisconsin, who introduced a bill not of impeachment but of censure, Arlen Specter acted like, you know, the idea of censuring the president was inconceivable, and yet there were tons of Republicans and a lot of Democrats, too, who wanted to censure the president when the president was Bill Clinton, and what he was being censured for was lying about a ridiculous dalliance in the Oval Office, when what do we have here but a president who's trashing the Constitution in the Oval Office?
Yeah, it is. And I guess, now, have you had a chance today to delve into what Specter is talking about with creating a law that would where Congress could sue the president at all?
I have not been able to look at that yet, but I intend to do so.
Okay. Well, because I just sort of heard a little news report on it, and really, you know, the only thing that really boggled my mind was that he would opt for a method that has not even been created rather than use something that's already in place. I mean, it just blows my mind.
Well,
you know, they have no shame.
What I don't understand is here is a guy who, you know, he's been fighting cancer. He's an old man at the end of his political career, and still he's not ready completely to break ranks with this president of the United States that he knows full well is doing such serious damage to our constitutional system. He still thinks that he, Arlen Specter, can construct a piece of legislation that is going to solve the problem. His little pieces of legislation aren't going to do the trick. There needs to be something much more fundamental, and that's why I think impeachment is the way to go. He should support it. Feingold should support it. Then the House would bring up a bill of impeachment, and then he and Feingold and the other senators would sit in judgment of the President of the United States. I think we're going to have to come to that if we're going to have accountability in this country. And, you know, his little playing with bills there at the Senate Judiciary Committee, I just think is a distraction.
I think it is, too. Now, let's shift gears a little bit. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention about pick your brain about on the Democratic side of the aisle. We have Harry Reid, who was in favor of the minimum wage bill and yet was also in favor of the flag burning amendment. Now, you know,
I mean, this flag burning amendment is really hard to stomach. I mean, Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, Senate Minority Leader, he's supposed to be leading the opposition party. What kind of opposition party is it when he's siding with the Republicans on this one? And there's nothing more unconstitutional than banning flag burning. I mean, it's an essential part of speech. The Supreme Court has already ruled that it's an essential part of speech. It's symbolic speech, right there in the bullseye of political speech. And for him and for the other Democrats who signed on to this flag burning amendment, I mean, I think that's just shameful grandstanding. I mean, these people are elevating the symbol of freedom, the flag, over what that symbol is supposed to stand for, the substance of freedom. That's crazy. And what makes this country great is, you know, not the fact that we can blow up the world umpteen times over or that Bush can go send troops to any country and invade, but that we have these precious rights here in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment above all, and Fourth Amendment, things like that. And for them to willingly give up part of that, I just don't understand.
Well, and it is absolutely. It's well. The other thing, the other part of this too, is that you know the Democrats on this issue and a couple of others have been very split. When it, you know, as I've heard before, people say, you know, it's time for America to have another or to have a second party. I'm just, you know, because they're not acting like an opposition party.
Yeah, it certainly makes you wonder on this. I mean, fortunately, there were enough Democrats who voted no on this, and there was. Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island, who voted no, and Mitch McConnell, you know, the senator from Tobacco, who voted no on this, and Bennett from Utah. So that allowed the thing not to go through, but it was really very close. And then there were other people who were playing games, like Hillary Clinton, who's for a piece of legislation that would criminalize flag desecration, but she wasn't for the amendment. I'm glad she wasn't for the amendment, but still, I mean, why pass a bill that says desecrating the flag is illegal? I think we need to come to grips with this idea of the flag. They've turned this flag, the U.S. flag, into a golden calf that everyone needs to bow down and worship to. You know, we should be able to debate whether the U.S. policies in this place or that place are good, or whether the U.S. government is acting according to international law or not. And if someone is so outraged at a U.S. policy that he or she wants to burn an American flag to express that outrage, that person has a right to do that. And I don't think that person is some kind of miscreant, which is what Russ Feingold called anyone who would dare to even contemplate the idea of burning a flag. I don't think that person's necessarily a miscreant. I don't think it's good political tactics. I don't think you persuade anybody who doesn't agree with you that you're right. But sometimes if you want to take a moral stance, a lone individual cry from the heart and burn an American flag in opposition to some heinous crime that the U.S. government has committed, I wouldn't call you a miscreant.
Matt Rothschild with Progressive Magazine. One more thing I wanted to ask you about, and this is sort of a larger philosophical question. We have a situation now where it looks like it's shaping up, and I could be way wrong on this, but it looks like they're shaping up to try to draw the whole values thing back into the public arena for the elections coming this fall. I mean, today there was a debate there was a vote in the House Judiciary Committee regarding something called the American Values Agenda that's being put forth by the Republican Party. And, you know, I'd like to get your take on what you think the Democrats can do to try to win back voters who are voting against their own best interests because of so-called values.
Well, I think people need to talk about values. I mean, is peace a value? I think peace is a value. I think liberty is a value. I think defending our First Amendment rights of free speech and assembly is a value. I think defending the Fourth Amendment right of privacy is a value. I think making sure that children in this society are not suffering in poverty is a value. Just yesterday, a report came out that said child poverty is up in 36 states around the country, and that infant mortality, the rate of infant mortality, is no longer falling in this country. That's a terrible problem for people on a moral scale. If we're going to be talking about moral values, do we want our kids to be dying? Do we want our kids to be suffering in poverty? So I wouldn't surrender the language of values to the right wing on this at all. I think we need to talk about our own values.
What are real values, right? I mean, you know, I think the other thing that that sort of gets to me on this is that while on the one hand they'll talk about having a culture of life, on the other hand they're making senior citizens choose between taking medication and eating. Doesn't sound much like a culture of life to me.
And they're cutting funding for Medicaid for people who are poor or people who are disabled. They are having their incomes cut. Someone who cannot work for a living because he or she's been injured or has some terrible illness, they are having the food literally taken out of their mouth.
Matt, we got a caller on the line. Would you be interested in entertaining a caller?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead and bring him up, Agnes, if you would. Our friend Spike from Pennsylvania is online. Spike, how are you doing? Oh, whoops. It looks like he wasn't on the line. He was actually sending an email. My mistake. Sorry about that. All right, Matt, great to talk with you today and great to have you back on the radio program, and hopefully we'll do this again sometime real soon, my friend.
It's always a pleasure. I love being on.
All right, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon. And that was Matt Rothschild of the Progressive Magazine, who is there in Madison, Wisconsin. And, you know, Matt really has a wonderful take on a lot of this stuff that we're talking about here, and it's always good to have his input. We're going to go ahead and take a very quick break, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Bruce Burch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the fun, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. Or you can send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. In a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and 4th Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Burch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Good day, everybody. On this week's Fourth Estate, we have a very candid interview with the one, the only, Robert Fisk.
There's always been in America this feeling that to be a journalist and question your country's foreign policy, especially in time of war, which means always, according to George W. Bush, is somehow unpatriotic and thus potentially subversive. Mm. And add to that the enormous pressures, which do exist for US-American journalists, well, as they do for all of us, but more the Americans, yeah, from those supporters of Israel in the major lobby groups in the United States, like AIPAC. Yeah. And what has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism.
So don't miss it. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com, 10 p.m. Eastern Saturday on the Head On Radio Network.
back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Free America. We just had a really great conversation with Matt Rothschild, and I told you we saw eye to eye, and we certainly did. Oh, the values, the values, the values, the values. I have a value. It's called, I'll tell you what the value is after the top of the hour. But I do want to remind you, if you're just now tuning into the radio program, yesterday we had a little bit of a contest. Actually, the contest is still going on. But yesterday I asked my listeners if they would send in a one-word descriptive term of the religious right. And I got like 16 entries, man. You guys rock. My listeners are the best in the world. You really do. You really do rock. If you're listening via podcast or live, you rock. It's that simple. It's that simple. If you would like to vote, now here's what we're doing. Let me just, before I get ahead of myself, what I decided to do instead of trying to pick the number one out of 16, I decided that I would not pick that, that I would let you pick it. Okay? So, well, not pick it, but you know what I'm saying. Pick the, oh God, I'm losing my mind again. That I would let you pick the word. Now, let me just tell you where it stands. Uh-oh. Here's where it stands, ladies and gentlemen. We have three top contenders here. We have we have Christoppo, or Christoppo. We have Neo-Theocons, and we have Biblicons. Now, Christoppo is leading the pack right now at 60% of the vote. Neo-Theocons is actually Neo-Theocons and Biblicons are tied for second place with 20% of the vote apiece. Go over to Bruce Birch, BruceBurch.com, and vote on the one that you think needs to be the term that we use, or that I use anyway, for the religious right here on the radio program. Yeah, that's right. You get to pick the term. If you go over to BruceBurch.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, you get to vote on the terminology. That's right. This is democracy in action right here on the Head On Radio Network. And we're going to make this, and of course, if you scroll back up to the top of the page after you voted, you get to read the show post, and that tells you what the winners will get. So please do go over there and do that if you get a chance, because that way you get to participate in the greater direction, if you will, of how we want to call these people, these Christo-fascists, what is it? Let me go back to the page there. There's one down there that I thought was kind of funny. I think it's, here it is. It's the Tally Bubbas. The Tally Bubbas. That's right. They're Tally Bubbas. Well, it is prayer meeting day, isn't it? So, this is our prayer meeting. We're going to pick the name that they need to be, the Christo Band. Let me just read some of these off to you in case you're like, you don't get it, you're not able to open up more than one page at once. Christoppo is leading the pack, followed by Neo-Theocons, Biblicons, Theo-Reich, Domino-Theocrats, Christo Band, Bibli-Reich, Al-Christa, Al-Christa, Biblicans, Tally Bubbas, the Fundamentally Ill, Theocrazies, Religiocrats, that is a nice rolling of the tongue, Religiocrats, Churchists, Jesus Thugs, and Americans. Interesting bunch of names. You guys are just, you're pretty hard on these people. You really are. All right. Oh, and there's another one that I couldn't put up there because this was by one of our head-on people called Antichrists, like Antichrist, A-U-N-T-I-E, Christs, Antichrists. So I didn't put that one up there because that was from one of our staff folks or one of our people here. Anyway, you're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. It's almost the top of the hour. The news is next, and then I'm back on the other side here on the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington, the Supreme Court has upheld most of a controversial Texas redistricting map promoted by Republicans, including former House Leader Tom DeLay. However, the court ruled that one of the congressional districts did not protect the voting rights of Hispanic minorities. The Supreme Court also ruled today that prison officials can keep newspapers and magazines away from troublesome inmates. The justices, in a 6-3 vote, stated this is not a violation of the inmates' free speech rights, and it can be used as an incentive to make them behave. Mideast tensions are rising as Israeli warplanes reportedly flew over Syria. In response, Syria claims they fired on those planes as they were in the air above the Syrian president's home. In Gaza, the Israelis continued military raids, including a ground offensive to free a kidnapped soldier reportedly being held by Palestinian groups. They have knocked out most power, water, and main bridges in the area with airstrikes. In Iraq, the prime minister says that he has been contacted by several insurgent groups that want to be part of the national reconciliation. Some of the Sunni groups are offering to halt their attacks if a 2-year timetable is set for the U.S. military to leave the country. In Russia, the president has ordered Russian agents to find and destroy those responsible for killing 4 Russian diplomats in Iraq earlier this month. A group linked to Al-Qaeda claims they killed the men. In Kabul, Afghanistan, earlier today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pledged continued American support for President Hamid Karzai and his country's fight against resurgent Taliban militants. She now arrived in Moscow, where she's joining international talks on Iran's disputed nuclear program. Montenegro has won a place in the United Nations, becoming the 192nd member of the world body. This comes nearly a month after the country declared independence from Serbia. On Capitol Hill, House Speaker Dennis Hassert said the House will debate a resolution that condemns the U.S. media for recent reports detailing secret intelligence programs used in the war on terror. Also in Washington, a Republican senator wants to put a tax on pimps and prostitutes with the goal of eliminating the sex trade. In Washington, Democratic Senator Barack Obama says that his party must compete for the support of church-going Americans. And across the eastern seaboard, flooding has led to 10 deaths and the evacuation of tens of thousands of people. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates to 5.25% when its meeting concludes tomorrow. That would be the 17th successive hike since June of 2004. President Bush's Treasury Secretary nominee, former Goldman Sachs chief Henry Paulson, has been approved in a full Senate vote. Earlier today, he won the approval of the Senate Finance Committee. FBI agents in the New York City area say they broke up 2 international movie piracy rings today. They say that the motion picture industry has lost millions of dollars because of these bootleggers. CNN Money.com is reporting that the next generation of higher capacity iPods may face major delays because of a switch in chip makers. The new Nano may now be pushed back until December. Music giants EMI and Warner Music are still discussing a merger. This comes as each company recently rejected a takeover bid made by the other. UPS has entered into a deal with the Postal Service. The package carrier will now fly mail for the Postal Service on its planes. The deal could bring in $100 million in revenue. Oracle CEO Larry Ellison now says that he won't give Harvard University the $115 million he had earlier pledged. A company spokesperson says that Ellison changed his mind. Light sweet crude settled at $72.19 a barrel today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 49 points and the Nasdaq was up 12 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America. You want to bring democracy back to the U.S.? Keep listening. Or, you know, that and do some stuff, too. But we'll talk about that later. That's right. There is democracy alive and well here at the Head On Radio Network. Go to brucebirch.com and scroll to the bottom of the page, and you get to pick your own favorite term for the Tally Christo Antichrists. For the religious right. You know, the James Dobsons, the Jerry Falwells, the Pat Robertsons, you know, the Ernest Ainsleys and, you know, whatnot. Those guys. Yeah, the ones that are making the rest of our lives a living hell. You can vote on what name you want them to be called from now on this program. So do check it out. Do check it out. All right, glad to have you back with us. It's about 7 minutes past the hour. And, you know, there is a pretty significant story going on in Pennsylvania right now. There's a considerable amount of flooding. The last I read, and I will try to pull this up now so that I can be truthful about this. The last I read is that 150,000 to 200,000 people in the, I believe it's Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania area, have to evacuate because the rivers are completely out of their banks and you know, from all the rain. See, all the rain we had here went there. So the Delaware River apparently will crest 2 p.m. on Thursday, which is right there by Allentown, and you know, it's 39 feet, which is 17 feet above flood stage. That's a lot of water. My God, that's a lot of water. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on up there. I hope everybody – now, I also read recently that some folks didn't make it through some of this flooding. So, you know, hearts go out to them and their family. And I really wanted to mention something on air at this point because I think it sort of is appropriate, and I know that after this show, our good friend Bob Kincaid, who has a show after this show called Head On with Bob Kincaid, will mention this a little bit later. But I just wanted to sort of give everybody, you know, the opportunity, you know, to send some good thoughts to Bob and his family because they need all the good thoughts that they can get right now. With a family member who is very ill, and so please do everything you can. If you can, if you meditate, which I try to do on a regular basis, if you meditate, you know what? Send some positive vibes their way, man. Really, just sort of meditate on the love that you can, if you to send toward to Mr. Kincaid and his family. Everyone here at the Head On Radio Network is doing exactly that, and they could really use it right now. So please do what you can to send them some love, all right? Because that's what we're all in this together. Now, I know we don't want to hear the song right now, but we are all in this together. You know, that's what we do on the left side of the aisle. That's, we're a family, as my producer is telling me. We are a family. We're a huge family. And you know what? We look after our own, and we take care of each other. And that's what this is about. That's a real family value, is showing love to people that you care about. So, you know, send them an email. Tell them you care, okay? You can send it to Bob at headonradio.com or to Agnes at headonradio.com. Either one. We'll get you there. Okay. Well, I talk about flood, and what happens? Our good friend Spike from Easton, Pennsylvania, is on line one. Spike.
Hey, Gonzo Green.
Spike, do you have your watercraft available?
No, I'm gonna have to doggy paddle out of town if it gets to that point. Yeah, I guess I am now unofficially the Head On Radio Network's Pennsylvania flood correspondent here at this point.
Absolutely.
Are
your feet wet?
Not yet, but they might if the river keeps getting higher and higher. It's getting a little rough for us here in Pennsylvania. Easton's been lucky. We've had nonstop rain in Pennsylvania, but Easton's been getting light rain. But unfortunately, the Lehigh and Delaware rivers meet in Easton. And that's a big problem because the Lehigh River really got rained on hard for a while. And obviously up a little bit upstream in the Delaware got hit pretty bad. So Easton's really starting to flood. It's almost becoming like Katrina here as far as it's getting hard to move in and out of the city. If there's a good chance by late tonight, if you're in the city and you don't want to be in the city, too bad. You're going to be stuck in the city for a little while.
Let me ask you this. Now, I read in an article just a few minutes ago from MCALLMCALL.com that the river is expected to crest in Easton at 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, originally it was supposed
to... So it's still rising.
Yeah, originally it was supposed to be 2 a.m. tonight, but there's been so many problems upstream in other parts of Pennsylvania that a lot of it might find its way down here, so now they're thinking it might even crest higher than expected. I'm just hoping it doesn't crest anywhere past 45 feet, because if it does that, there's a good chance I'm going to lose my apartment in the process.
Are you making preparation? Now, let's step out of flood correspondent mode for a minute, Spike, and step into Spike, the guy who has stuff in an apartment. Are you making preparations to get your stuff to higher ground, or because 39 feet is not very, that's not high, that's not very low below 45, man.
Yeah, well, I say if it goes past 45, that's when I'm going to start clearing my apartment out. According to the locals who've lived on this street for a long time, they're telling me for our street, yeah, the worst flood that ever happened in Easton didn't quite make it to my street. So for my street to get flooded, it would be the worst flood in the history of Easton, and they say it would have to be over 60 feet. But at 45 feet, I would start getting ready since I'm a basement apartment, because who knows what will be coming up from under the ground with all this saturation.
That's true, or up through the sewage system.
Yeah, and trust me, I've once or twice had some problems with the sewage system down here.
Now, have they turned off the water there or electricity or what's going on?
They've turned off the gas in the local neighborhoods, and that's it. They've left the electricity on because of the heat and humidity. They figure if there's people who are just going to have their basements flooded, leave the electric on for them so they can keep running their air conditioners, which it's a double-edged sword there where you could fall into fire hazards with the electricity running. But they did make sure they turned the gas off because, obviously, Katrina was a great example. If you don't turn the gas off and you get floods, you get just rows of fires on blocks, flooded blocks. And that's exactly actually what happened in Katrina. When everything got flooded and then there was all these fires in the flood, it was because gas lines were rupturing. As far as gas fires, we're pretty good. A lot of local businesses downtown. There's no gas downtown. Downtown, a lot of restaurants and bars. The bars at least can make out they can sell beer. But a lot of restaurants and, coffee shops and stuff really got hurt today because they can't sell food, essentially, with no gas. So this is in 2 years now, this is going to be the third flood, and all three will be on the top five worst floods of all time in city history. So the city of Easton is really starting to take it on the chin with these flooding problems. And meanwhile, the city went basically decades without any flooding problems, but recently it's just gotten out of hand. A lot of sprawling up river that's created a lot more drainage problems and the like of that. Also, in Pennsylvania, the city of Wilkes-Barre is having a major evacuation right now.
I just read that. Yeah, like 150 to 200,000 people are evacuating?
Yeah, well, the mayor told everyone to leave the city, but they're only making it mandatory for a certain part of the city. Basically, the part of the city that got destroyed in 72 in the Hurricane Agnes, I believe it was, flood. They told those people, if you got flooded in Agnes, get out now because you're going to get flooded again. Apparently, there's a problem with the levee up in Wilkes-Barre that Paul Kanjorski had built up there. That they opened the gate to try to relieve some of it, and one of the gates has now apparently ruptured and broke. And so now they kind of have no control over the water in Wilkes-Barre. So Wilkes-Barre is probably going to be taken on a chin. Scranton itself is okay, but the surrounding areas of Scranton's pretty bad. Jim Thorpe got flooded yesterday, and it's only getting worse for them up there. Manayunk, you know, the where I believe Villanova is based out of in the Philadelphia area. It's kind of a more richer outskirts area of Philadelphia, Manayunk. They're flooded. Basically, you name it, in eastern and central Pennsylvania, and it's flooded. A lot of mountainous parts of Pennsylvania are flooded in one way or another. Roads washed out. Basically, for the most part, the Commonwealth is in a state of emergency right now, and it's we have some time to go yet. You know, Easton right now, it's more a spectacle. A lot of people coming, you know. Or just a while ago, me and my neighbor were walking around. She was taking pictures and, you know, talking to everyone from we know in town about the flood. And it was almost like the 4th of July, and everyone just coming out, walking around. You know, one local businessman who had to close his restaurant rolled his ice cream freezer out into the sidewalk and got an extension cord and was just selling ice cream on the sidewalk to people so at least he'd make some money for the day.
Sure.
But
Spike, we got to take a quick break. You want to hang on?
Yeah, okay.
All right, hang on, and we'll be right back. We're talking with our friend Spike from Easton, Pennsylvania, who is currently looking at some floodwaters, I think. And you're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity.
Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. 4484.
Place your hand on your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
In the markets, I've seen you in the streets and at your political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and ma. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb?
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program where we dare ask the question, who would Jesus bomb? Since all these right-wing nutzoids seem to think that it's synonymous with the religious right to kill people. Yeah, I wonder where Jesus would fall into that. What do you think about that, Spike?
That's a good question. I don't know if Jesus was as much a bomb guy as maybe a sneaking up from behind and slashing their throats kind of guy. Special ops.
It's special ops, Jesus.
He's more like a SEAL. Jesus. Special.
Oh, my God. We're going to hell for sure now.
I'm sure, especially considering at times during the holidays I like to pose as a Jewish person and buy stuff and see if they wish me a happy Hanukkah, and every once in a while someone wishes me a Merry Christmas when I'm buying Hanukkah stuff, you know, and I've always wondered, how dumb must you be not to connect the dots on buying Hanukkah stuff? What makes you think I celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, what is the thing that that Jewish folks put up on their door frame?
That's a good question, because to be honest with you, all my Jewish friends aren't very good at practicing their religion.
Because I have a friend of mine who's not Jewish, but he has one of them up on his door frame to ward off the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, that is a good way. I had Mormons once come to my door, and I told them we're not interested, and they said, why? And I said, because we're Jewish, and they said, okay.
And that was it.
That was it. You know, if you say, well, I'm this, I'm that, they keep trying to twist your arm. Say I'm Jewish. Okay, see you later. No one wants to convert a Jew. I don't understand that. That kind of makes me like that religion a little more. But also, real quick, not only is like Easton going to be part of the flood along the Delaware, Trenton, New Jersey, which is the capital of New Jersey, is going to get flooded pretty good with this flood also. So the state of New Jersey is really getting screwed because their state capital is about to be flooded. They're closing the state offices there. The mayor of Trenton basically made the demand of the governor that just close the state offices. We're going to have limited water supply, limited resources. We don't need state offices running right now and people coming into the city. So the state of New Jersey is going to really get hit hard by that, even though most of New Jersey won't flood because Trenton's flooding. That's going to be a big problem for state business and things like that in New Jersey. So obviously Trenton's another big city, the Philadelphia area. And, of course, I'm sure, once again, if we need FEMA, we might as well just jump off the bridge, because I can almost guarantee you FEMA will come nowhere near this area to help us out for the most part. So it's going to be clean up amongst the local communities again. The local cities will all get, once again, stuck with the bill and put further in the debt. I mean, the city of Easton so far in debt is ridiculous. And this flood's just, a reminder that we're going to continue to stay in debt for many years to come, many, many years to come. I mean, I don't know, and not to mention we're probably going to lose businesses because there's some businesses that now in 2 years have been flooded out three times now. I don't know what pictures you saw. There's a gas station down the street from me that's totally submerged in water now. which talk about an environmental hazard.
I was going to say, that's not, doesn't bode well for your neighborhood, my friend.
No, not at all. Although at least it's not as bad as that dump truck, the last flood that got stuck in the water with the leaky diesel tank, and there was diesel fuel all over the place in the water.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, the obviously, environmentally speaking, this is really bad for us. We have a water treatment plant close to the Delaware River, so that's going to be even worse for people further downstream.
So let me ask you this. How far away from you right now where you are, how far away are the floodwaters?
About 150, but they develop the city in that it's like going up levels or steps from the river. So while I'm 150 yards away from the river really has to rise up because these properties that are like really further down with cement walls. So they kind of built it preparing for a flood so that floodwaters don't really get past the Second Street area. Although Larry Holmes Drive is now part of the Delaware River, as is parts of Route 611, which anyone familiar with the city of Philadelphia, that's Broad Street. It goes all the way from Philadelphia up to where I grew up in the Poconos. That's underwater. That street basically runs parallel to the Delaware River. But the Free Bridge, I don't know if you started with that bridge. That's very close to me, actually, that one bridge that WFMZ at WFMZ.com has under the flood of 2006. That's what we call the Free Bridge. That was, I believe, the second bridge ever built over the Delaware between Phillipsburg, New Jersey, and eastern Pennsylvania. And obviously, there's no toll, which is why it's called the Free Bridge. Last time I was down there, there's less than 4 feet.
I thought it was because you could walk across it naked. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Right now, they don't want anyone walking across. They have state troopers on both sides to keep people from going on it. There's less than 4 feet between the river and that bridge, so it looks like that bridge is probably going to be closed for quite some time. Like I said, there's basically several sections of the city that it's almost impossible to get to from different parts of the city. Normally, College Hill is right next to downtown. It's where Lafayette College, which is a Patriot League school, is. The main roads that most people use to go from downtown to College Hill are closed because the Bushkill Creek and Delaware River floodings. So people have to go all the way up around in one part of town, back around. The only street that basically you can use now, from what I'm hearing, it's gridlocked to the point it's taken an hour. So Easton's a little city of 26,000 people. Just imagine being stuck in traffic where it takes you an hour to get from one part of the city to another, where the city, I believe, is at best 4 square miles. So it's really, really getting tough to move around now. And ironically, actually there is no irony to this, but earlier in the day I got a call from my job asking me if I felt like coming in, since I had to call out sick the past 2 days to make up some of the money and work tonight, and I had to turn them down because I knew if I did that, I'd never be able to get back to my home tonight. So I kind of had to bite the bullet, and instead of making money tonight, just decide to stick it out down.
Well, you know, you could deliver pizzas in a boat, can't you? Come on, Spike,
you
man.
Know,
let's get with the program here, man. We got pizzas to deliver. This is the Republican
that.
Congress.
I have delivered pizza in flooded roadways before, and I had to replace a belt in my motor afterwards because it got all screwed up from getting wet. But, because I know at this point with everything closing, it's going to be like Katrina. You know, if you're in the city around the time it crests, you're not leaving. If you're outside the city when it crests, you're not getting in for the most part. So I'm kind of bracing to be stuck in the city at this point. My ex talked to me earlier today and was trying to tell me, talk me into moving stuff out of my apartment to her old house. And I had to explain to her, I have no vehicle to do that because my car is too small. And she started to recommend, well, how about your parents come down? My parents can't come down from the Poconos because everything's flooded up there too. We're all stuck in different parts of the state. So it'll end soon enough.
Yeah. Well, I just please be safe up there. Don't keep an eye on things and make sure that you have some method of at least getting your butt out from where you are and go somewhere safe, okay?
Yeah, well, I have a friend who, she's kind of like my adopted aunt. She runs a business up where I used to live in Easton, and she did tell me that if I have to leave my apartment, I can sleep at her place for the night. So, I mean, I have a place to go and all, but basically, I'm being stubborn like the people of Katrina. You know, I'm not evacuated. And that's another thing, too, I just got to mention real quick. The only evacuation shelter for everybody in the city of Easton is not even in the city of Easton. It's at Easton High, which is in Palmer Township in the suburbs of Easton, which essentially means you have to walk over 20-something blocks. And considering probably along the way you're going to find flooded roadways, I just kind of have to chuckle. The city is not prepared for evacuation, you know, people needing shelter at this point. So if it gets really out of hand, we're going to have no place for people to go, and it's not going to be Katrina ugly, but it's going to be ugly.
All right, Spike, I'm going to go to a break. Thanks for calling in, my friend, and giving us a firsthand reporting, if you will, on what's going on there. And you know, I certainly hope that everything, you don't have water bubbling up in your bathtub tonight.
Yeah.
But I just try to be safe, okay?
I certainly will. If nothing else, I have plenty of alcohol on hand to get through the flood. But I appreciate talking to you through all this. And everyone out there, you could either go to WFMZ.com, which is our local right-wing TV station, but they have decent coverage of the flood, and the morning call site, mcall.com. Those are private sites.
WFMZ.com and mcall.com, okay?
Yes.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, and I certainly hope that everything works out okay for you. Good to hear from you, and be safe. That was our good friend Spike in Easton, Pennsylvania. You're listening to the Bruce Burks Radio Program, Radio for a Free America, on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
On the radio. Did you try to read your writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine. With my Progressive Point of View, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. The know-nothings are at it again, this time trying to pass an amendment that would pave the way for the banning of flag burning, which is surely the most urgent issue that's vexing the country right now. Let's see, we got a quagmire in Iraq, another insurgency flaring up in Afghanistan, Osama bin Laden still on the loose, George Bush destroying our civil liberties at home, healthcare costs rising and wages falling for a majority of Americans, and all that Bill Frist and Karl Rove and Bush himself want us to focus on this week is flag burning. Well, and maybe the New York Times. The constitutional amendment is an answer to a non-existent problem. Police departments haven't exactly been reporting a rash of flag burnings recently. And the answer to this non-existent problem is profoundly un-American. They're elevating the symbol of freedom over the substance of freedom. The Supreme Court has twice ruled that flag burning is symbolic speech. It's a way of expressing disgust with the United States or its policies. Now, maybe that offends your sense of patriotism, but here in this country, we're supposed to allow for speech we find deeply offensive. That's what free speech is all about. That's why it's free. A few Democrats, like Leahy in Durbin, have courageously been making this point, but others, like Hillary Clinton, have gone along with a gagging crowd. It's not just Bush, Rove, and Frist who are the opportunists on this one. For all of them, the flag is not their last refuge, but their first. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you. Or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're back on the Bruce Burks radio program. Glad to have you back. It's about 25 minutes before the hour. Ah, boy. What an interesting show today. I know about flooding. I've lived through several floods myself, so here in North Carolina, we get them occasionally, and, you know, because we have hurricanes blow through here, matter of fact, over the last couple of days, I live up on top of a hill, so I feel pretty safe about floodwaters. But, when things flood out, you definitely, see things that are going on, like, you know, roofs that need to be patched, trees that need to be trimmed, things of that nature. Anyway. So Spike over up there, and obviously he has his power. He wouldn't be listening to the radio program today. Very quickly, program update for Bob Kincaid's show tonight. He has two interviews. Wow, tonight. One is David Rose, who is the author of Guantanamo, The War on Human Rights. And he also has Jacob... Oh, my goodness. Jacob. Sorry about that. We had a situation here anyway. He also has Jacob Hornberger, author of a recent essay regarding the killing of Iraqi children. So there you go, guys. Do tune in to Bob's show this evening. You'll get to hear a couple of fantastic interviews. Sorry about that silence there. I just had a situation here I had to deal with. Now, regarding the, our government, I swear to God, these people, they can't do anything that's regarding actually helping anyone. It has to be about their pet issues. Now, here's another pet issue. The Pentagon, in response to the discovery that this is from page1q.com, in response to the discovery that the Department of Defense had classified homosexuality as a mental illness, the Pentagon has released a statement changing the designation. The classification became public when reported by news agencies on July 19th, almost 10 years after it was issued in 1996. Page 1Q spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Mertan from the Office of the Secretary of Defense's Public Affairs Office. Colonel Mertan provided the following statement regarding the change in what was formerly known as the Department of Defense Instruction 1332.38. The directive has been reviewed. Homosexuality should not have been characterized as a mental disorder in an appendix of a procedural instruction. A clarification will be issued over the next few days. Notwithstanding its inclusion, we find no practical impact since that appendix simply listed factors that do not constitute a physical disability, and homosexuality, of course, does not. So, there you go. The Pentagon no longer recognizes homosexuality as a mental illness. Thank you, Pentagon, for not recognizing homosexuality as a mental illness. Also coming out of the bowels of government, apparently our tax dollars are being used to fund a misinformation campaign about Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth. Apparently, yesterday, the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works issued a press release headlined, quote, AP incorrectly claims scientists praise Gore's movie, end quote. But it doesn't substantiate the claim. The AP contacted 100 climate scientists, including noted climate skeptics, you know, the ones who claim that there is no such thing as a climate. And of the 19 that had seen the movie, all commended its accuracy. The committee release faulted the AP, the Associated Press, for not cherry-picking the handful of scientists around the world who make a living questioning the scientific consensus on global warming. For example, an Australian scientist named Bob Carter told an obscure Canadian paper that Gore's arguments are so weak that they're pathetic. Okay, well, you know, that's pretty interesting. How dare the AP exclude this analysis? If you want to read more about that, you can go to Think Progress over there on the Think Progress blog. Now, you know, what really blows my mind in a lot of this is that we have tax dollars paying these people. Oh, my God. Now, if this were a regular job, these folks would be fired by now, especially Arlen Specter. So, you know, definitely go over to Think Progress and check that out. Now, you know, interestingly enough, we have our good friend Bill Frist, you know, the guy who likes to go and massage the hearts of silver-backed gorillas. Senator Bill Frist appeared on CNN's American Morning to explain why the Senate is spending time on issues like flag burning while polls indicate that the American people are more concerned about Iraq and the economy. CNN host Miles O'Brien asked Frist why recent polls show 54% of Americans will vote for Democrats in the upcoming elections, while only 38% plan to vote for Republicans. Frist explained that the people's concerns were being addressed by the Republican Senate, but told O'Brien those were the sort of issues, quote, you may not cover and others may not cover, end quote. That's right. Frist, in an underhanded way, blamed the bad numbers of the Republican Party on the newsmen and women, the CNN people. Well, we certainly know it's not Fox, don't we? Now, another interesting thing from off of the Hill today, a little interesting item I figured I would pass along your direction. The Senate Democratic leadership planned to exclude Senator Hillary Clinton from a news conference promoting legislation she introduced until just hours before the event. Apparently, just prior to the event, a Clinton aide could be seen yelling at an aide to Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid, among other things, quote, you suck, end quote. Sources say Clinton looked visibly upset at the news conference. She did not stay for the duration of the question and answer session. Whatever thoughts she or her staff may have expressed to Democratic leaders and their aides before the event, Reid did introduce Clinton and single her out as being on top of this issue. Hey, we're Democrats, right? We don't belong to an organized political party, do we? Certainly not. And last but certainly not least in the annals of Washingtonia, I said annals, that's right, Senator Barack Obama today chastised fellow Democrats for failing to, quote, acknowledge the power of faith in the lives of the American people, end quote, and he said that the party must compete for the support of evangelicals and other church-going Americans. The Illinois Democrat said, quote, not every mention of God in public is a breach to the wall of separation. Context matters, he says. He actually uttered at this conference, a faith-based conference called Call to Renewal. It's a faith-based movement to overcome poverty. He said, having voluntary student prayer groups using school property to meet should not be a threat any more than its use by the high school Republicans should threaten Democrats. Huh. Okay, Mr. Obama. I wonder if you'd say the same thing about a group of Muslims using a classroom to pray to Allah. I wonder if you'd say the same thing. He went on to say kneeling beneath that cross on the south side of Chicago, I felt God's spirit beckoning me. I submitted myself to his will and dedicated myself to discovering his truth. All right. Yeah, that's right. We're giving you a little bit of the religious stuff again, and Bob will get to that a little bit later on, I'm sure. Okay, we're at our quarter hour, and we're going to take our last break of the night. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that. 1-877-443-2366 will get you into the studios of the West Virginia Wild and Wonderful Hills, our home studio, here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
As it was in Hitler's army, with Stalin's awful crew, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Pearl Harbor too. Across the sweep of human history, there's a truth they never tell.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid, weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and 4th Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch, Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, if you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cents per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to Naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, everything's going to be okay. That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America. Glad to have you back with us. We're in our last 10 minutes of the show, and I just wanted to, again, thank our good friend Matt Rothschild for joining the program this evening and giving us his perspective. Always a joy to have him on the show. Also wanted to sort of reiterate to our good friend Spike, who called in and was talking about the flood. Dude, if you're listening to this show and the water's rising, you know, get your butt out of there, man. Now, the other thing, too, that before we get away from here, I just wanted to sort of go back to the top of the show and reiterate a couple of things. And I just want to read this. This is the latest story. This is out of the Boston Globe on this situation. The Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter said yesterday that he is seriously considering filing legislation to give Congress legal standing to sue President Bush over his use of signing statements to reserve the right to bypass laws. Well, you heard it on this program by Matt Rothschild, who is been involved in this business for a long time. There's already a legal process in place to deal with a president that wants to subvert laws. It's called impeachment. And if Specter were really serious about wanting to see the rule of law upheld, that's what he would do. He would push for articles of impeachment, not articles of figuring out a way to sue the president. I mean, come on. He says, quote, if Congress had the power to sue the president, the Supreme Court could determine whether the president's objections are valid under the Constitution. Are we talking about the same Supreme Court that today validated Tom DeLay's illegal chicanery down in Texas? The same Supreme Court? The same Supreme Court that allowed people that said it was okay for cops to not even have to knock before they walk right up in your house and search the premises? This is the same Supreme Court, right? Well, no wonder Mr. Specter is feeling so safe with this. The Supreme Court, I dare say, probably wouldn't, would say, oh, it's okay, Mr. President. We think that you've done a great job. There's one place to settle it. It's called in the Senate after the fall elections, in a trial of impeachment. That's the way to settle it. Very simple. The Constitution has that in place. Why not use it, Mr. Specter? You scared that it might not go your way like your buddy Sensenbrenner? Maybe that's it. Specter also said there is a sense that the president has taken the signing statements far beyond the customary purviews. He added that there is a real issue here as to whether the president may, in effect, cherry-pick the provisions he likes, excluding the provisions he doesn't like. Yeah, well, he doesn't have the right to do that. And you know it, Specter. You know it. So do the right thing. Do the right thing. For once, do the right thing. All right, we want to definitely thank all the folks in West Virginia. You know, you get a chance to today and tonight and tomorrow, head over to brucebirch.com, and what we want you to do is head down to the bottom of that page and make sure that you vote on the terminology that you want to use, that you want me to use, in referring to the religious right on this program from here on out. There's about 16 different terms there that you can vote on. Please do that before midnight tomorrow night. Don't wait to the last minute, folks. You never know. The website might crash. You know how the Internet is. So please do that. I also want to thank my producer, Mr. Bob Kincaid there in West Virginia, and Agnes Kincaid also. You guys rock. You do a wonderful, fantastic job. I'd like to thank my good friend John Fox for producing the radio program, or excuse me, for announcing the radio program and for being the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Our good friend Peter Godbold, who keeps the internets running in a petulant frenzy all over the world. That's his job. You know he has a big switch at his house. And last but not least, I'd like to thank you for listening, everyone. You make this show a reality. Now remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. So get out there and do something about it tomorrow. Make yourself a part of this democracy. Thanks for listening today. We'll catch you on the flip side tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. Stay tuned for Bob Kincaid. He'll be right up after the news. Talk to you later.
After the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something.